Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
Bring the dove back today. I decided we needed strength today, so I brought the hawk. Have you been watching the hawk circling? I'm kind of thinking as long as the hawk's here, the dove's not coming out. So that's all right. Hey, we're so glad you're here. If you have a mother in the car, would you beep your horn? Wow. Good, good. Amen, amen. If you have... This is a little touchy, but if you have lost a mother this past year, I'd say flash your lights in honor of them. You have any lights flashing? Because I know we have had some mothers have gone on to be with the Lord. Yeah, got it. Yeah. Yeah, this is an awesome time to be together. We know that God is in charge. He is still on the throne. Watching the hawk fly around reminds me of Isaiah, where he says, they that wait upon the Lord would renew their strength. They will rise up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And in this season, in this day, we are going to keep on. Amen? We're going to keep on in the strength of the Lord. You know, as you leave the parking lot in a little bit, we will have ushers there with baskets if you want to make an offering contribution in that way. But also we have the flowers for all the mothers. All ladies over 18 will get a flower. And so the ushers will bring them out to the edge of the parking lot. I'm not quite sure how it's all going to work, but be sure to get your flower before you leave this morning. Our scripture is from Matthew 5, 21 to 26. Probably the first time I've ever preached this passage on Mother's Day, but it's Matthew 5, 21 through 26. Hear this word from God. You have heard that it was said to people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this word, and I pray, Lord, that out of it, that you would do a work of grace, a supernatural power and grace among us as family members, as a community of faith, and as neighbors, brothers and sisters in this world. We commit this to you, and we commit our lives to you and our families to you with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, the memory verse is verse 24. I'm going to phrase it out. Those that are watching online can see it online, but those of you listening can't. So if you would repeat after me, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. First go and be reconciled to them. And then come and offer your gift. Then come and offer your gift. Matthew 5:24. Now, although Mother's Day is technically not considered a holy day according to the Christian calendar, but next to Christmas and Easter, Mother's Day is one of the most well-attended services of our church year. You know, it's a big deal. One of the gifts for mothers would be the kids come home and go to church with mom. I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, Father's Day, it's not so much. It's kind of like the day after Easter or the day after Christmas. I guess fathers would rather go out golfing or fishing or something else. But Mother's Day is usually a well-attended service. I know our culture and our roles for mothers have, women have changed, but I still believe a mother's heart seeks harmony and peace and well-being for the family. Notice in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' own mother, Mary, twice it says that she treasured all these things in her heart. Now, it seems like mothers' hearts, all mothers' hearts, become a treasury of cherished memories, good and bad ones and painful ones. So in times of struggle, in times of hurry, and in times of separation, our mothers often carry a tremendous burden of care. Proverbs 23:25 really speaks to me as a theme for this message today, is may your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. Be joyful. And I really think we would love to make our mothers joyful. If I could give some special gift to my wife to tell her Happy Mother's Day, I would try to do it because I would want her to be filled with joy. Filled with joy. One of the greatest gifts I think we can give moms this year is, number one, that our family would be all gathered together. I know that's always one pain when we can't get together, you know, all our kids and family can't get together. Secondly, is that we would not only get together, that we would get along. And thirdly, that for Christian mothers especially, that the kids would love and serve Jesus. Now, I know with this whole COVID-19 stay-at-home order and all the details of that, it's going to be a challenge to get together. Even in this worship service, you guys are in your cars. I mean, it's a little different. But I believe there's still creative ways that we can bless our mothers. And one of them, I think, today is that we could reset our relationships. If we would reset our relationships this Mother's Day. Matthew 5:23 says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you. You know, I think we could use this pandemic for good. And one way we can do that is by using it as a reset for our relationships, that we could begin to get along. You know, if you consider all the minor squabbles and hurt feelings in light of the immensity of this worldwide and economic crisis, you might realize just how foolish we have acted. You know, these are earth-shaking, end-of-days types of events. So let's not allow small issues, and let me say, most of our strained relationships are over small issues. Let's not allow small issues to separate us from one another. You know, it's interesting. I've watched, I don't post a lot on Facebook. I don't know. Am I called a creeper? Is that what it's called? I'm a creeper. All right. They tell me I'm a creeper because I watch what everybody else posts, but I don't say much on Facebook. But I've noticed a lot. We do a lot of jokes about families being stuck together and cooped up together and all the challenges of that. Or I guess there's a lot of posts about hairdressers, you know? I mean, if anybody here is having a bad hair day because of COVID-19, would you beep your horn? Yeah, okay, that is a deal. Yeah, I got it. My wife cuts my hair, so it's really not a thing. You know, I have a bad hair day kind of every day, so it's just what it is. Not because of my wife's hair cutting. Just because of my head and hair. But I don't want to get in trouble there. She does a great job. But I've noticed we make a lot of jokes. But, you know, I have seen some of our own church people, some of you. I don't want to call you out, but I want to say we've had a lot. Some of our own church people have been laid off for a couple weeks, and then they said what a blessing it was to be able to spend time with their kids. You know, and I thought, wow, what a blessing. Instead of saying, I'm going to kill my kids, I can't stand my kids, I need a break from my kids, which I got that, I know. Sometimes you have to keep reminding yourself how much you love your kids. I got that. But they said, what a blessing it was. Because with work and school and sports and church and all the hurry in our schedules, a lot of times we only see our family in passing. It's just momentary. So to be actually have a extended time together is a blessing, you know, and I think we can really use this stay at home time as for good. Don't waste this time. Now, I say that, but I'm probably the guiltiest of all, okay? I'm afraid I'm wasting the stay at home time. I thought maybe I should exercise more, maybe read a little bit more, read some books I've been stacking up on my desk. Back up a little bit because it's going down. Is that right? Me back up. Okay, got it. All right. Is that better, folks? You're not online. Okay, that's all right. I'm not exercising more. The only exercising I'm doing probably is mowing the yard. I haven't exercised more. I've mowed the yard. I've put more steps on mowing, but other than that, I really haven't done a lot more. I haven't read any more books, and I think I've probably done more sitting. We've done some puzzling, probably done more puzzling than before, so I'd sit to do that. And I've probably made sure that I've recorded my favorite television shows. And so I've done that. So I think maybe I might be wasting some of the benefits of this extra time alone. But I want you to think about don't wasting this time with relationships. If you think about somebody, then pray for them. Okay? I think we're blowing away there. Are we okay? We're good? Okay. If you think about somebody, pray for them. Maybe it's time to reset a relationship. And that's the second thing I would want to say that we could do. Not only can we reset our relationships during this time, we can think about them. And I'm not saying dream something up. Don't focus your mind so much on what could be wrong or what did I do wrong. If something comes to mind, it says, therefore, if you offer your gift at the altar and there remember. So the second thing we could do is seek to get along. Notice verses 24 and 25 says, if you remember, leave your gift in front of the altar and go and be reconciled. And then come and offer the gift. Settle the matter quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. So it's talking about resetting your relationship. It's talking about going and being reconciled to somebody. Now, Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Now, I want you to pause for a minute because there's something there. Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. I want you to see a connection between peace with one another and holiness. If you go back to this passage in Matthew, it says, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember that someone has something against you. It says, go and be reconciled and then come back. So there they're making a connection between worship, God, worshiping God, and being in a right relationship with somebody around you. And here it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness. There's a connection between peace and holiness. There's a connection between personal relationships and worship of God. And, you know, I think of Jesus when they ask him the great commandments. What did he say? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So there seems to be a connection. 1 John 4, 11 and 12 says, how can we say that we love God who we have not seen if we do not love our neighbor who we have seen? So I want to challenge you to get along, work to reset those relationships so that we can to be reconciled. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. As much as possible, as much as it depends on you. Now, I like the King James Version because it says, as much as lieth in you. Instead of saying as much as depends on you, it says, as much as lieth in you. Well, I ask yourself, what lies in you? If you're a child of God, if you are born again, the Holy Spirit lies in you. The life of Jesus lies in you. This is Jesus who submitted to earthly parents for 30 years of his life. This is Jesus who submitted to an earthly body, the God of heaven, who humbled himself to an earthly body for 33 years. This is the Jesus who prayed for forgiveness for those who nailed him to the cross. It says, as much as lieth in you, the Holy Spirit lies in you. You can do all things as much as possible. Do your part. Now, sometimes it's not possible in our time and in our strength, but we can continue to pray and we continue to wait for God to move in his perfect time. And that's why I think it's when it says, and you remember. So maybe if God is bringing something to your memory, it is a time to act. It is a moment where God is working. And notice in verse 25, it says, settle the matter quickly. Settle the matter quickly with your adversary. So there's an urgency to this, to pursuing peace and reconciliation. And I think this pandemic, these life kind of end of the world kind of events remind us that there is a time. Now is the time to make things right. There is an urgency for peace. We can actually be blessed during these challenging times. We can use these life-shaking times to shake up some relationships in our life, to pray for others, to bless others, and in so doing, we might bless the Lord and our parents and our mothers. And finally, I would want to challenge us to reset our relationship with God. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." It's talking about Jesus is at the door. And he is the one who is always knocking. He is always trying to restore our relationship. He is always trying to reset our relationship with him. And as I said, there's an urgency. When you read that passage, it talks about pursue, quickly settle with your adversary. It says you're in danger of hellfire. He will be thrown into prison. I mean, this is urgent talk. This is end of the world kind of talk. I know a lot of us today, pastors, we have been, I think we've been soft. We have been overly gentle. If these events would be happening in Joel's time, or in Hosea's time, or Amos's time, I mean, they would have been out busting heads and slamming people around, you know? I mean, this is the time to repent. This is a time to get right with God. I mean, the judgment of God is upon our earth. I mean, this, they'd be serious stuff, and yet we are so much like, oh, we're going to get through this together, you know, we just love one another. It's all, and I think we have missed the urgency. It is time to get right with God. I know there's been a lot of the end of the world talk, and it's a little scary to some. But, you know, I've been talking the end of the world ever since 1973 when I got saved. And I believe we're closer and closer to this day. Now is the time to make things right. It says if you're offering your gift at the altar and you remember. Well, if you're worshiping God and the Lord, the Holy Spirit, brings to your remembrance something that you need to make right, then now is the time to make it right. There is an urgency. You know, you can't decide to get right with God on your own. In some of our relationships, we can't fix them. But if God pricks your conscience, if he gives you a remembrance, an idea, then that is the time to act. If we could fix this on our own, and believe me, I think a lot of us think that. A lot of our world is like, oh, if we just do practice all the social distancing and we wash our hands and we do everything that they tell us, we're all going to get through this. My friend, I'm trying to do all of that. That's why we're worshiping here on the roof. But I'm also calling on God and depending on him. We can only come to God when we are prompted by the Holy Spirit, when we are drawn by the Father. So if you're, remember, if you are pricked in your conscience, if that little bit of guilt, there's a catch in your spirit, that is the time to act, because the Spirit of God is knocking on your heart and on your life. You know, God is all-powerful. I heard my wife was talking to one of the church ladies. She saw her, I think, at a store, and they said, well, you know, God could stop this virus anytime he wanted to with just one word. And I said, absolutely, he is all powerful. But then I would add, if he does not, then God has a plan to use it for his glory and our benefit. So let us use this time for good. Let us use this time for God. Listen to the voice of God. Reset some relationships that have been broken and strained. And more than anything, reset your relationship with God. Jesus is there all the time knocking at your door, offering you a reset, offering you a fresh start. You know, everything's changed. There's nothing new, and there's no new normal. It's a renewed normal. This, everything's different. Maybe today is the time for change. I'm going to close this message with Lamentations 3:22-23. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. His compassions are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And I want you to hear that this morning. It is new every morning. God bless you, folks. Be reset in your life, in your relationship with one another. Love your mother, but also love Jesus. and put your faith in Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.